Urban Sheridan and the Bighorns.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
Wyoming wasn't built overnight. It was built by people who worked hard, stayed true to their values, and thought about the next generation. This is Frank Boley, and we think the same way at Legacy Ridge Private Wealth in Sheridan. We help individuals, families, and businesses build a financial plan designed to last. Visit us at 45 North Main next to Frackleton's. Legacy Ridge Private Wealth, building a legacy that matters. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA, SIPC.
Izzy,
Alexa,
Sunshine,
Dorothy,
good girl MAGA,
B2, come on everybody, let's herd up.
Okay ladies, there's a lot of people counting on you, so let's get out there and have some calves.
We're back with round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving. There are nine chances for you to pick the date you think each cow will have her calf. If you pick the right date, you could win a $50 prize. Play round two of Shorty's Countdown to Calving on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, March 18th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, we are joined by Sheridan Police Department Captain of the Force, Tom Ringley. Good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, how are things down at the department currently?
They're good. We're coming out of our slow Februarys that we always have every year. It's cyclical, although we can't blame the cold weather.
Yeah.
this year, but they're good. We're in the budget planning part of the year, which is very important. Make sure we're good protectors of the public resources. And we are looking forward to getting officers in training on the street on their own and hiring some more officers. Our next testing will be on the third Thursday of next month.
When it comes to the budget, do your lieutenants turn anything into you, or are you the one who kind of manages all of that and then you pass it up to the chief?
We all have our special bureau needs. Say if we have a special project coming up, say for instance, for me, it would be we're looking at some point replacing an elevator.
Okay.
Our elevator. So that's a big money project. It's not normal. So that's something that I would have to bring up. And I don't know if we're going to do it this year or next. But so if it's bureau specific, then yeah, we pass it up. But for the day-to-day things like office supplies and training, it's fairly set, and it just takes often minor adjustments or no adjustments at all other than for inflation.
When it comes to training, is it kind of like it was when you and I were military? Do you have to wait for a seat, or do those training facilities say, SPD, we have this many seats assigned to you every year?
No. For instance, the peace officer basic, it can be fairly difficult to get more than one or two seats.
Oh, wow.
Just because there's a high demand. Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy is the peace officer basic course is amazing. But as we've talked about on previous shows, as hiring nationwide and statewide starting to come back up and people want to get into law enforcement again, then there are less seats and they have finite resources, so they can only have so many classes. But a lot of our training is we identify it. And it's out of town, out of state. Say, for instance, if we have a new detective that we need to get trained up on advanced interview techniques and advanced forensic techniques, then we find the training and send them.
I bet those are just fascinating to sit through. Fascinating courses.
Yeah. No, it's all very interesting. And the thing about training is we just don't send people off to the cool guy stuff. We make sure that there's a balance between primarily meeting the need of the department, and but also making sure that the officer detective going to training is stimulated by it and it meets one of their professional goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine just maintaining those fundamentals of police work are probably even more important than a lot of the cool guy stuff.
They are. You know, as I've said before, an investigation is an investigation. You develop leads and run them all down. But once we get into the technical stuff like cell phone downloads and advanced interviewing, and and those base needs also need refreshing too. Because advances are always made. It's an evolving industry. So we just try to strike that balance between keeping everyone current and relevant, but also making sure they're satisfied and that they're enjoying their work.
Now, I imagine as a captain, you are certainly a trainer as well. I think there's a lot of individuals there at the SPD that have, I don't want to call it a specialty, but something that they're pretty good at, and they train their fellow officers. Have you ever considered going to an establishment or an organization after you're finished here and becoming a trainer?
No.
Never crushed your...
No, it's... I've had trainings, positions. I was a custody and control trainer forever and a field training officer. It's not something that... It's not something that I would enjoy doing with people I don't know. But training officers I do know, I found in a lot of satisfaction in it because you can watch them evolve.
Yeah.
And also you get that day-to-day, week-to-week, year-to-year view of their progress.
Yeah.
Where if we're just training people and never seeing again, I wouldn't like that. I don't think that would be my up my alley.
I think out of everything that I miss the most, that's what I miss. Training with my squad, with my team, seeing those guys kind of come up. You know, I think that's, out of everything that there was, I really do miss it. Well, folks, I'm getting a little sidetracked because today we are going to continue our look at SPD statistics of the 2025 year. Captain, for those who may not know, what do these 2025 crime statistics tell us about the overall safety within our city?
The overall result is that Sheridan's a safe place to be. While we do have our tragedies such as the pedestrian who was killed at 5th and Main in 2025. Generally, those incidents are very few, if non-existent, as we frequently talk about, which is why we focus on the small things.
Yeah, like
traffic safety. We have that luxury. We don't have civil unrest. We don't have huge theft rings. We can focus on quality of life and safety.
Even when there are demonstrations, they're pretty very well organized.
Yeah, and that's not community unrest. That's people exercising their rights.
Exactly.
But, you know, as we see, and we can't escape in a news cycle nationwide. We have none of that. And we encourage people to exercise all of their rights.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, little sidebar, that's the first time you and I ever actually got the opportunity to meet was at one of these demonstrations.
Yes.
And it was great because those people exercised their rights. The SPD was there just as a presence.
Yep.
And stood back and let people do that. And I really did enjoy that. Now, if we look at goals, last time you were on the show, we talked about that, excuse me, that 5%. It's kind of the overall arcing goal. What goals for the SPD were set in reducing crime for 2025?
There are our same goals every year. And 5% we realize can be an arbitrary number, especially as we keep getting lower and lower. There's a chance we may not meet the 5%. And also the other thing is the sample size is so small, say for a homicide, if we have one and then zero the next year, then, it's dropped 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Not about to start patting ourselves on the back. But our goals is to reduce property crime, reduce violent crime, reduce alcohol abuse, reduce drug use, and reduce traffic crashes.
Traffic crashes, yes, themselves.
So they're very broad goals, but almost everything we do addresses one of those categories.
Something you and I talked about extensively in the last show was the alcohol abuse factors into crime trends here in Sheridan.
Yes.
Something that is unfortunately very common in those trends.
It is. A large percentage of our violent crimes, whether it's a fight or a domestic violence and everything in between, usually involves alcohol. It's not saying people are drunk, but it's present enough for the officers to notice it and document it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I do want to touch on. We're not saying that drinking is bad. I certainly enjoyed my drinking days. But what I'm saying is, too many times it is involved.
Yeah. No, we're not normally telling people not to go out and enjoy themselves. In my opinion, our retail liquor license holders are very professional and do a very good job. But none of us can control a lot of times of what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
As we talked about on the last show.
And I think that's one thing that we've really touched on is the establishments around here have really kind of risen the bar on performance and responsibility compared to when you first joined the force.
Yeah. I mean, there's one that needs some work and they know who they are and it shouldn't be news to them. But overall, everyone does a great job. And we're not talking about calling us every 5 seconds, but self-policing and not over-serving.
Yeah.
Closing when you're supposed to close and implementing the tips training that's required through city ordinance. I mean, the better job they do, the more we stay out of their hair other than to just make bar checks. And
yeah. Now, when we look at the department working to reduce alcohol-related crime and statistics, is there anything you can do outside of tips? Not that tips isn't great, because tips is pretty fantastic. I didn't really understand that program until I got up here. And having every server go through there. And, oftentimes I talk about generations past you and I needing an explanation as to why we do things.
Yes.
I think once servers understand this is why I have to do it a certain way, once they see that reason, they're more than happy to comply.
If the police department was a bar, what we would do beyond tips is explain to our serving staff our values and why we exist. I mean, the police department exists to keep us safe. That our business would exist to make sure people have a good time in a safe manner. And to do this, we won't overserve. We keep the place clean. We have a well-lit establishment, and we will report report fights before when there are arguments, so that it can be part of a value system. And I think almost overall, everyone kind of adheres to that.
And that's an interesting way to look at it. An interesting practice itself to take your team aside and say, these are our values.
Yeah.
These are the things that we follow here. People come here to have a good time, not to get into a fight.
Yes.
I don't want to see any of that behind the bar over there. Now, switching gears on us, something else that we've talked about frequently, but I like talking about this because it is something that's very true. Traffic management, staying connected to public safety goals within the department. We touch on DUIs being the highest risk to public safety. When the SPD looks at traffic management and how that connects to public safety goals, can you explain that a little bit for us? Kind of the overall strategy there.
The book answer is, we are concerned about traffic safety because we want people and goods to move safely throughout our jurisdiction. So that means people can be safe and businesses can get their product to where it needs to go. When people violate traffic laws, then it reduces that probability.
Now, what qualifies as a state reportable traffic accident?
It's changed from over $1,000 to disabled.
Okay.
In a nutshell. So it's just because, I mean, a scratch is $1,000 now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone who got a fender bender in the last year knows exactly how much that costs.
So it's gone up, but people are still required to have all of their driver's license information, registration and insurance information with them. So if they are in a fender bender, and they can exchange it now, still call us. But as far as the formal state accident or crash report, because they're all crashes, not accidents, that threshold's gone up.
Interesting how you like to address that terminology.
Yeah, it's called a state crash report.
State crash report, yes. Not accident.
Yes.
Is there a reason behind that?
Yeah, because while people may not mean purposely drive into someone else, they've done something wrong to do it. It's a crash. A crash is a collision when two things come together.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we call them crashes, which they are.
And I think that terminology is important.
Yeah.
Because it denotes a certain responsibility.
Yeah, and we're not judging people. I'm just explaining the term.
Exactly. Now, what would you like residents to understand about the statistics that you and I will be discussing in the second part regarding drugs here in the city?
You're not going to hear us come on Public Pulse and say we've had a 10% drop in marijuana arrests. Because while that's a goal, it's a small sample size. For example, we had 10% rise. We had 124 marijuana tickets or arrests in 2025 compared to the previous 3-year average of 109. Well, yeah, it went up. It's such a small sample size.
Yeah.
We're not going to come in on here and laud that. On the same note, if a category goes down and it's a small sample size, we understand that. That could be a result of this having more or less officers on the street than the previous 3-year period.
And having that small sample size, for those who may not understand, kind of like what the captain was talking about before, if you've got one homicide 1 year, zero the next, 100% drop. Not really a time to pat yourself on the back, just it didn't happen this year. All right, on that, we will be back with the Sheridan Police Department to talk a little bit about some drug and alcohol statistics in 2025. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First home, feeling overwhelmed?
I'm Maren Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean hundreds saved every month.
If you meet income guidelines, you may qualify to buy your primary residence.
Let's make it simple.
Call us or visit efirstfederal.bank today for all the details.
First Federal Bank and Trust. We're with you every step home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Dreaming of green grass, sunny days, and long drives down the fairway? So are we. Get ready for the 2026 season at Kendrick Golf Course. Rates are extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Sheridan's best golf value. Take advantage of preseason discounts and save even more. Discounted Bass is now on sale at City Hall or online at SheridanWY.net through March 31st. Yep, the grass will be greening up before you know it. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
Hey, this is Chancey Williams. As many of you know, I'm a singer-songwriter, former saddle bronc rider, a proud UW grad, and lifelong cowboy. I switched to Blue Peak Fiber Internet in Laramie, and happy I did. It's reliable and keeps me in tune with my family, friends, and fans. Casper, Sheridan, and Cheyenne, you can get Blue Peak too. Say it with me. The world needs more cowboys and fiber internet.
Go online to mybluepeak.com to get all offer details for your home and business internet. Terms and conditions apply.
When someone you love starts needing help, everything changes. Suddenly you're worrying about rides to appointments, meals, chores, and making sure they're okay when you're not there. That's what Synergy Home Care is all about. Real support, real connection, real dignity. From senior in-home care, companionship to memory care, and hospital to home support, and specialized home care, it's care that works around your family. Visit SynergyHomeCare.com or call 674-HOME. That's 674-H-O-M-E. Synergy Home Care, local family-owned home care you can count on.
Alpine Climate Control can help you with the design and the materials to make your backyard a true oasis. We've got fire pits, outdoor heating, pizza ovens, and even seating ideas. Stop by and visit our showroom with many working models and let us help you design your backyard for maximum time spent enjoying it. We've also got a few working floor models remaining on sale. Visit alpineclimatecontrol.com or visit us in person at 2705 Coffeen Avenue in Sheridan.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan Police Department Captain Tom Ringley. We are here to review the drug and alcohol statistics for the 2025 year. Captain, what do the 2025 drug seizure statistics tell you about drug activity here in the city of Sheridan?
Well, and talking back to before the break, we were talking about our sample sizes. So the changes may sound big, but there are a lot of variables as to why. For instance, for marijuana, we seized approximately, through arrest, 18 ounces in 2025, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot. Most of these seizures are small quantities on traffic stops. We had 124 arrests. Now, an arrest can be custodial or a citation, compared to 109 for the previous three-year average. The methamphetamine was 25 seizures compared to 37 for the previous 3 years, which is a that's good. That's a drop, meaning we're seeing less of it. On the other drugs, the sample sizes are so small. We had two cases where we seized cocaine for a total of eight grams of powder, and six cases where we seized fentanyl. That's broken up to 7/10 of a gram in pill form and 7/10 of a fluid ounce in liquid form. And then for the 20 for the meth seizures, it was 70 grams. So that's these are pretty small quantities, and except for fentanyl, you know, any fentanyl and any meth and anything powdered. But the incidents are small, but we want to get this dead. Complete absence of especially the fentanyl and the meth and the cocaine.
And people have been hearing fentanyl in the news a lot.
Yes.
When do you remember that really starting to surface as a popular recreational drug?
It's tough to remember because it's so feathered in with the opioids.
And, okay.
With the synthetic opioids. I was trying to remember how long ago it was that we started carrying Narcan in our cars. And it was probably about 10 years ago. But between 5 and 10 years ago, maybe around the COVID times, was when fentanyl started to make an appearance. And the difficult thing about fentanyl is we can't train our dogs to detect it because it's legal with a prescription.
It is a medication.
Yes. Yes. So if we have a dog hit on a car, say, and we find fentanyl, which they have a prescription for, but they also have cocaine, we don't know what the dog's hitting on exactly. The dog indicates that there's a substance that's been trained to indicate, you know, detect is in a vehicle or in a residence or building or whatever. So. That's probably why our fentanyls are relatively low. And it's a problem nationwide, say in states with legalized marijuana, those dogs.
That I couldn't, I'd never thought of
that. The potential to where they may have to be taken off the street, and then only have dogs, trained to detect cocaine, heroin, and
the harder
whatever else. Yeah.
Types of drugs.
Illegal substances.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to fentanyl within the city, it doesn't I mean, when it comes to the weights that you've seized, as you said, you want to see zero. That's the best number to have. Is there a concern within the PD that this could be an issue for Sheridan, or do you feel that not as of yet?
Sheridan generally follows the same trends nationwide. We're just smaller. So we have fewer incidents.
Yeah. Is it kind of like, and I know you hate it when I say something like this, but is it kind of like the detective shows where there's usually one or two big dealers peddling out to smaller ones, and if we could just get that bigger guy, we can make a serious dent?
In theory, but also there's one thing we've learned is the nature of hordes of vacuum. And as soon as one big local dealer is removed, then someone will take the place.
They step up to that mantle.
Yeah.
Addiction is the problem.
Well, with fentanyl, death is the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we establish our priority of our hierarchy of needs. And at the baseline, we don't want people to, at a bare minimum, we don't want people dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then above that would be addiction and the toll that it has on not only the users' lives, but also their families and friends and the community as a whole.
And unfortunately, in your line of work, that is something that you see quite a bit.
We have seen it, definitely, yep.
And that is the purpose of the NARCAN, if people don't know what that is. It is a, and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but this is a nasal injection to bring somebody out of an OD.
Yes. They actually, I saw it on the shelves in a drugstore right next to all the other vitamins and supplements yesterday. But yeah, it's thankfully that's one of the good things that's come out of it. It's much more available.
So you can have this privately.
Yeah. Yeah, it's completely legal.
That's interesting. Now, drug paraphernalia. Seizures of drug paraphernalia have gone up, correct?
Yes.
Now, that is a good and a bad thing, kind of one of those double-edged swords. What types of items are commonly being seized?
Anything that's used that has been used to consume drugs. And it's actually a violation of a city ordinance. So a pipe that's been used, a needle that has presumptive, that we generally can test on the street, that's presumptive positive for a controlled substance. It's anything, a straw, a spoon with residue on it. There's a wide variety.
One more question that I really wanted to talk about, and that is the different types of marijuana that we're seeing now. Cannabis is... broadened its spectrum over probably the last 20 years. It's no longer just a plant.
The cannabis hasn't done it.
People have done it. What are we seizing most? Is it still like a flower type of product, or is it, what do they call it, like a resin?
The overwhelming majority is the flower product, although we have had... we've seized about 20 ounces of vape, which is liquefied product. And then I stopped counting the wax, but about 10 incidents where we seized the residue in wax form, which is a concentrated wax.
Now, that stuff is not easily produced.
No.
No, that's got to be kind of professionally done.
Yes.
So you know when you seize that stuff. I mean, this is coming in from out of state.
Yeah, it's coming from somewhere. And as we've discussed before, we're surrounded, several of the states that border us are, it's legal.
Yeah.
To use at the recreational level. And oftentimes it's in prescription packaging or in store packaging as well. So it's fairly easy to deduce that it came from a retail point of sale.
Captain, is there anything about the drug statistics from the year that you would like people to know before I let you go?
It's a, you know, some people don't understand why we arrest people for marijuana. As I've said in numerous media outlets, we enforce all laws. We don't create them. It's not our prerogative, but we certainly enforce them all. And also, in many forms of community feedback, we've learned that it is a community expectation that we do enforce these laws.
Absolutely. Captain, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for coming in. I always enjoy talking to you. I always end up learning so much, and I hope that our listeners do too. So I greatly appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, when we return, we're going to speak with the City of Buffalo Police Department Chief, Sean Bissett. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
This is Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
And I'm Nicole Pierce. Buying a home just got more affordable.
With the Mortgage Rate Relief Program, qualified buyers may receive an interest rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That could mean lower monthly payments on your primary residence.
If your household income qualifies, we'll walk you through everything.
Call us for all the details at First Federal Bank and Trust or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, helping you get home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Talking with Bill from Tales of the City, one of the big reasons to choose Tales of the City is food for your pets.
We have the first whole food pet food, and that's nature's logic. It has no synthetic vitamins, no synthetic minerals, no vitamin mineral packs from China. You get your iron from spinach. You got a raw element in that food, a higher meat content. It gives 18 different amino acids. That's one of the best.
Get nature's logic for your pet at Tales of the City, 218 West Burkett.
Get ready to dig in at Gunslinger's with the complete fried chicken feast. Ham-breaded chicken, potatoes, and gravy coleslaw, and buttery biscuits with honey. Add a new smash burger, and don't forget dessert with creamy ice cream. No time to sit? Pull up to their drive-up window and get it delivered straight to your door with DoorDash. Fast, fresh, and ready to go. Open 10 a.m. Monday to Saturday at 901 Long Drive inside the old Sinclair gas station. Gunslinger's. Cluck yeah.
Man, oh man, it is great to be on the open road again. I'm looking forward to this hunting trip.
Yeah, me too. I am ready to hit the woods. But these wind farms we keep seeing, they are pissing me off. Let's turn on the radio and get some good news.
President Trump announced today his plan to terminate new windmill contracts.
We don't allow windmills. We're not allowing any windmills to go up.
I mean, hey, President Trump's got it right, but that Chuck Gray guy running for Congress is dead wrong.
Yeah, Gray voted to license windmills in Wyoming. You believe that? The one we just passed should have Chuck Gray's name all over it. Unfriggin' real.
Hey, what about Reed Raisner? Where's he stand?
Ah, Raisner's 100% MAGA. He'll help Trump kill the windmills, end the Green New Deal scam, and make America energy dominant. Reed Raisner's our kind of guy.
Right. Reed Raisner knows more American energy means more Wyoming jobs. Drill, baby, drill.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Mandy Kultiska from Century 21 BHJ Realty brings you this Pet of the Week from the Dog and Cat Shelter. You may not be able to buy love, but you sure can rescue it. Secondhand animals make first-class pets and can help make you healthier. Pets never judge you. They just love you. Come and find your new love today at the Dog and Cat Shelter, 84 East Ridge Road in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, we are joined by the Buffalo Police Department Chief, Mr. Sean Bissett. Good morning, sir. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. I'm glad to be back. It's been a while.
It has. It's great to hear you. What's the past few months look like for Buffalo over there in terms of calls for service and your overall activity?
So, unfortunately, we're busy. That's not the best, Floyd. I don't know if it's the mild winter that we've had, but here in Buffalo and with the Johnson County Sheriff's Office as well, we've been very, very busy with several different cases, a lot of calls for service. It seems like an uptick from last winter, the last couple months since January. So I don't know if that just kind of goes with our warmer weather. Some more folks are out. And so, yeah, we've been very busy.
Now, recently, unfortunately, you had an officer involved in a crash traveling back to the academy. How are they doing?
So, yeah, so Officer Cody Thomas, he's been with us since August, so he's not new to law enforcement. He worked for the sheriff's office in the jail as a deputy for almost 5 years. He came over to us. He wanted to further his career on the road, and so he did some field training. He was about 2 months into his training. Unfortunately, a couple weeks ago, he was in Gillette to watch his son swim. He's got four kids. So they met. They went their separate ways. He was on Highway 59, headed back to the academy at about 8:30, 8:45 at night, when a vehicle traveling at a very high rate of speed lost control, traveled into the borough ditch, came back in, and struck Cody practically head-on at a very high rate of speed. Well, you know, once I got the phone call, my captain and sergeant immediately went to the hospital. I was in touch with family. I was able to get his wife down to the hospital where Cody miraculously lived through this accident, Floyd. I mean, it's nothing short of a miracle if you were to see the pictures of this crash. But to Cody's credit, one of the first things he told me is he was unconscious. The vehicle was on its side. He came to because his wife was calling so he could, you know, tell his girls goodnight. That's what kind of brought him to. He remembers seeing some headlights coming, praying that they stop. And once we did have the first person on scene actually was a nurse for 30 years, which was great. Wow. Another great thing. But to Cody's credit, which kind of gives me chills still when he was telling me this story, the first thing he wanted to do was get out of that truck and check on the other driver, which I thought was just an incredible act of bravery and heroism on his part. That first responder mindset, Floyd, just doesn't stop. It's just amazing. And I just thought that was, you know, despite his major injuries, he was still trying to get to that other driver, still putting someone else first. Cody is a value to our community. He's very involved in the community, you know, outside of work, involved in his church, and just a wonderful family. So I am happy to report we got him home. He actually is back at the academy.
Wow.
He wants to finish with his class. He graduates April 8th, and he was able to heal enough to be able to get back and continue his training there. Luckily, I think a lot of the physical portions of the training are done. And so, but that's another just kudos to Cody on how tough he is. And unfortunately the other driver was killed. And so we do feel for that family. And obviously it's a tragedy on both sides. We're lucky to have Cody with us and still be able to have him here and work for our community.
We really are lucky to have that. That is true testament to his character.
For sure.
It is unfortunate about the other driver, but at least Officer Thomas is able to complete his training, join the force, and continue to serve the community. Sir, are there any recent cases or investigations that really stand out to you as something vital for the community to truly grasp or understand?
Yeah, we've had a couple, Floyd, and I think the one that stands out the most was back on February 22nd. It was a Sunday morning. I had received a phone call. We had a concerning call from one of our local hardware stores, Ace Hardware, to let us know that there was a young man that came in. He had purchased some pipe and was caught stealing some drill bits. He could drill through a steel pipe. They told him, look, if you just pay for the bits, then, you know, we won't contact the police. We'll just, you know, go ahead and take care of it there. So they did that, you know, didn't really raise any eyebrows there. Well, the next day, the same gentleman came back into the store and asked if they sold fuses. And they were asking, well, fuses for lawnmower, car, what do you need? And he had said, no, the ones you light. And so they thought that was kind of weird. They obviously didn't. He then goes to Baumgars up the street and presents what appears to look like two pieces of pipe screwed together with end caps, shows the employee, says, you guys sell fuses? And when he said, we don't sell those kind of fuses, he made a comment of, you know, having enough gunpowder to make his own. So this happened between Friday and Sunday morning. Luckily, there was some family member that worked at each store, and they got to talking about how weird this was and something didn't seem right. So they called us. To make a long story short, we kind of put some things together that we thought that this gentleman was possibly making pipe bombs. We established enough probable cause to get a search warrant. that gentleman was stopped along with his girlfriend and a small child away from the home. We executed a search warrant, and we did find what appeared to be at least one viable pipe bomb. We left the location and immediately called the Campbell County Sheriff's Office, and their bomb squad came out and assisted us, and it was a viable pipe bomb. And so my biggest point to this, Floyd, is I've said it a lot. If you, see something, say something. And if without the cooperation of these folks that work in our stores here and businesses, we would have known nothing about this. And, this device was being stored underneath the bed where this child slept, where the mom slept, where he slept. I believe that we prevented a tragedy. And without the help of our community, when I say and I tell our officers, and I've done it for almost 30 years, and those spidey senses go off and those hairs stand up on the back of your neck, they're usually pretty accurate. So you need to listen to those. And I said it again, if you call and it's nothing, no harm, no foul. That's what we get paid to do. But if we don't say something and something occurs, then how do we live with ourselves? And so it was a great job done by our community. We just had another call just this past weekend of a gentleman that was wanted out of Gillette for pulling a handgun on somebody at a McDonald's. The Zip Trip hit their panic alarm because of what was going on there. We were able to get that person into custody, had a U.S. Marshal warrant. So it's just another great job by our community. And I love the fact that they feel comfortable enough to call us and know that, we will investigate this till the ends of the earth to make sure that our community is safe.
And that vital relationship between a PD and its community. This is the, as you said, this is evidence of that. Being comfortable enough to notify you and say, you know what, something doesn't feel right. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. You're never wasting an officer's time if you're asking them to check something out. That is literally what you guys have sworn to do, what you're paid to do and happy to do.
Yes.
And you never know what's going to come up, do you, sir?
You don't. And, we hear a lot, well, it's just Buffalo or it's just Sheridan, right? And unfortunately, we can't put the blinders on that we have to know that these things can happen, right? We don't, obviously, we're not happy about this. But to know that we have the training, the knowledge, the experience, and I'm super proud of, my officers and dispatchers and our team and how well we can work with the sheriff's office, always willing to help. It's a great thing we have going on right now, Floyd.
And it's a stark reminder that some time has passed. I can remember when we were a little younger, 9/11, we all had that on our lips, see something, say something, because we weren't sure what was going to happen in our country. And to think that there's an entire generation now who doesn't really keep that in the back of their mind. Maybe that is something that we should do with each other, remind each other, as the chief said, you get that spidey sense. It's there for a reason. I've always called it the sixth sense that people have. Some are more attuned to it than others. But if you feel something isn't right, call the PD. Have them go down. Check it out. It's what they're happy to do for you. Is there anything at the top of your mind, sir, that you think residents should pay attention to or to report if they believe that something doesn't seem right?
I'm a big advocate of just anything, whether it's if you're at a convenience store, keep your head on a swivel, right? I think you hit the nail on the head with the 9/11. I mean, I was a young officer when that happened, but now we look at what's going on across the world. Right. And we hear of things like terror cells and those kind of things. And we just have to know that we are not immune to things that can happen here in Wyoming, let alone Buffalo. But I would just say, just be mindful of your surroundings. I don't know if it's any one particular thing. If you see a car that just something doesn't look right, drop the tag number down. If you hear a conversation or wherever you may be, be a great witness, Floyd, that the more information we can get, if we're told, hey, there was this really weird thing going on, and it was a blue car. Well, it's hard for us, right? I mean, we appreciate the information, but if it's a blue Toyota, is missing a front left rim, and here's the tag number. Who's to say that that tag number, we don't run that, and that's not wanted for a crime out of Gillette or Montana or Colorado? And because we are, again, wedged between two major interstates, Buffalo is a great stopping point for gas, for hotels, for food. Some folks just pull off. We had a case, a deputy did a great job in KC, just saw something didn't look right at the rest stop. A car backed in that leaves. It turns out that car is stolen out of Montana. Ends up with two folks inside, have open warrants, they have drugs. So just great police work like that. And so, and that just came from something didn't look right, Floyd. And so the more information you can get us that allows us to dig a little deeper, assists us in a great way. I always tell people you don't have to get involved, just be a great witness.
And that is a fantastic statement, something that we can all remember, sir. Be a good witness. Even if nothing ends up coming from it, you still know the vehicle, the identity, or the, you know, identifying factors of the character that is involved. Keep yourself safe, folks. Keep yourself safe. The police are here to do this job. I'm running out of time with you, sir, but there are some things that I did want to touch base with you on. Something that I believe I've talked to the mayor about in the past, something that I think you brought up a while ago. Concerns around e-bikes and bicycle safety as more people are looking to get out in this warmer weather. What are there rules or ordinances that young riders and parents should understand when it comes to e-bikes on streets and trails?
Yes, and I think, you know, that, you know, we have some warm weather coming, spring's coming, summer's coming, some great things, Longmire Days, 4th of July celebration, our normal fair and rodeo. So school's still going to be in session. So just the kids on the e-bikes and on bicycles or scooters, whatever it may be. Helmets, we always encourage helmets. If you're on an e-bike, you got to remember you still have to follow the rules of the road. Stop signs, you need to stop. Crosswalks, if you can, walk the bike across. If not, look both ways, those kind of things. Follow the rules of the road. If you're downtown Buffalo in the major district, stay off the sidewalks because there are lots of folks there. Just be mindful. We did do, and I don't remember if we talked about it, Floyd, but we did a thing with the Johnson County Health where a lot of our businesses donated gift cards, and we gave them to our officers. And as we drove around and saw kids doing it the right way, we stopped them, gave them a card saying, thank you, here's some bike safety tips, and by the way, here's a $5, $10 gift certificate to the Dash. So just encouraging these kids. One, it's a great contact that they have with the police department, a really, really good interaction with us. We have a great working relationship with the school district, and I think my biggest thing I've said now is the culture has changed to, you know, why are the police here? You know, what's wrong? Instead, now it is, oh, great, the police are here. It's not a surprise. We are there every single morning for arrival and dismissal. We patrol our schools. And so with the bike safety in the warmer weather, whether you're jogging, running, on a bike, on an e-bike, just remember those things can get up to 35, 40 miles an hour, and you have to obey those rules of the road so we don't have an accident.
Has the city council addressed e-bikes, or are they planning to?
I know we've had several conversations, Floyd. The problem is right now these e-bikes, when you look into our Wyoming state statute, they don't fall under a motor vehicle. They fall under a bicycle, basically. So we're following the rules of a bicycle. And I know a lot of different towns are kind of struggling with that. How do we moderate? You know, you don't need a license to ride an e-bike because it's considered a bicycle, right? So I think and they're getting cheaper. I mean, they were super expensive, and I think now they're fairly reasonable to buy, so you see a lot of kids on them. And it's not just the kids. We have to educate the parents. If we're going to have a parent, you know, purchase an e-bike for your child, you know, there's ways that you can, you know, make those things go a little slower. You can adjust them, but also just know that they need to understand that, you know, if you're going down the road on an e-bike, people can't hear you. There's no noise. And you can't dart out into traffic at a stop sign and not stop, or we could have a tragedy. And so we've discussed it. I don't know if we're talking about some sort of ordinance, but that's kind of still on the table and in the works.
And I'm glad you brought that up, sir. I've got a brother who basically essentially lives his life on his motorcycle, and it is very loud, and he has still been hit by individuals who didn't see him or know that he was there. To imagine, you know, I'm sure a lot of folks don't understand when motorcyclists throw those big pipes on there, that actually does serve a purpose. I want you to know where I am. And to think that a child on an e-bike is making no noise, I never thought of that. And it's kind of a terrifying thing to think about.
Yep. And we get a lot of complaints from folks that are walking down the sidewalk. I mean, just folks on foot. It's not just cars. Or folks downtown, you're walking, you're looking, you're window shopping, and all of a sudden this thing, this blur comes by you, and you either almost get hit, you must walk in front of them, because they don't hear it. And so, you know, that's an issue that needs to be addressed.
And 10 miles an hour is a lot faster than people think when you get hit with an e-bike.
Yeah, and some of those, Floyd, can get up to 30, 40 miles an hour.
My goodness. Yeah. Sir, I'm out of time with you. Is there anything you would like to address residents regarding public safety or anything else as we go into the summer season?
Floyd, I just would, like you said, just know that we're here. No calls is too small. We love dealing with the community. And, you know, I hate to talk about doom and gloom all the time because we do live in a wonderful community. We have a wonderful relationship with our community. I want folks to go out, enjoy this nice weather, enjoy what our community has to offer with the mountains and everything else. So I don't want to, you know, put it out there that, oh, we have all these horrible things going, but I want them to know that our department is highly trained. Well, we are out there looking to keep people safe. And so I think it's important that our community knows what's going on, that there's full transparency in our department. And just go out, enjoy the nice weather, and I look forward to seeing folks at the parades and all the good things that Buffalo has to offer.
Sir, I want to thank you so much for calling in this morning, Chief. It is always a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Great talking with you, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Marin, everyone keeps asking, are rates ever going to help buyers?
Actually, yes. I'm Marin Borsheim.
And I'm Nicole Pierce with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Our mortgage rate relief program may lower your mortgage rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
That can make a big difference in monthly payments.
If you're buying your primary home, you may qualify.
Funds are limited, so call us today or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Let's get you into your home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mark your calendar for an unforgettable evening, Friday, March 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds Exhibit Hall. The Compass Fundraising Gala, where talent takes the stage, will be a night of entertainment, food, and fun, where you get to vote for your favorite act, dress in your best red carpet attire, and visit the selfie station. Tickets are very limited, so get yours today at compassforfamilies.org. That's compass, the number 4, families.org.
Mopping up soda pop riggies to our heart's delight.
Chance to swing real quickies, jukebox Saturday night.
Join the YO Theater for big band, big moves, and big nights in this rockin' evening to benefit the YO Theater. It's Jukebox Saturday Night, this Saturday, March 21st at the Caleb Shrine. Come dressed to impress in your favorite classic or vintage attire and enjoy dancing to timeless sock hop favorites from the 40s and 50s. Jukebox Saturday Night, a fundraiser for the YO, Saturday, March 21st at the Caleb Shrine. Get your tickets today at the YO Theater box office or online at yotheater.com.
Do you find yourself asking questions about technology? Anything from home electronics to your mobile phone? Hi, I'm Rich DeMuro. You can hear me weekends right here on
News Talk 930. Now on